Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, is a very familiar passage. Let's look at it together for a few moments this morning. And I hope the Lord will, I know the Lord has a word for us. I pray that God will speak to our hearts together as we come to listen to what he has to say. Jesus spoke oftentimes in parables. A parable was an earthy story with an eternal truth, or several eternal truths. And we're finding this morning one of the most familiar parables that Jesus shared, the story of the prodigal son. We've talked about it before. It's one of those things that all of every preacher preaches on. It's a wonderful text. But it's more than just the story of a prodigal son. It's the story of two prodigal sons, really, and about how we need to be careful and guard our hearts lest we find ourselves looking more like one than the other. The greatest stories ever told, the parables of Jesus. I like to read verses 25 through 32, and you know the context. The younger brother, younger son had gone to the far country, squandered all the inheritance of his family, and came back home wanting a place to come back home to, and that's the setting. Luke's Gospel chapter 15. Beginning in verse 25. Now the father's son, or elder son, was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, "Well, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." In verse 28, I've got it underlined and circled in my Bible. And the brother was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him or pleaded with him. And he answering said to his father, and can you imagine what that must have been like to hear this declaration? Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friend. And as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or right or appropriate that we should make merry and be glad for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, is lost and is found. This is perhaps one of the most well-acquainted parables that we know about. And the teachings of Jesus. It's interesting to note the context of it. Jesus has been teaching, and the great crowds have gathered, including the scribes and the Pharisees and others. And the crowds have grown so much that Jesus got into a nearby boat that was in the lake or the ocean and pushed off from shore just a little bit, and there shared the rest of his gospels, these parables rather. And so we find here the parable of the older brother, or the tragedy of empty religion. One of the things that we need to be careful about is, as Christians, especially if you've been saved a long time, don't take for granted your faith. Don't take for granted what God wants to do in all of our lives. And always be open to a word from the Lord. Lord, if there's any area in my life that you want to address or speak to, I pray that you will. Just a week or two ago, we preached on Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, this morning I want us to look together at this parable of the older brother and this often forgotten portion of the series of parables. And notice that even though Jesus is talking to the publicans and the sinners, he's also talking to the Pharisees and scribes, the religious crowd of Jesus' day. Notice what we find revealed in our passage. First of all, his older brother stayed home. He was sitting in the field and was coming home and heard the partying in the household and became angry when he found out the younger brother had come back home. He was insensitive to his father's passion. As a parent, no one has to explain to you the importance of our families. We all love our families and thank God for them. Nothing can be more rewarding, or few things can be more rewarding to a person than for somebody that you love in your family to come back home. Maybe they've made some bad decisions. Maybe they've charted some bad courses. Maybe they've gone down some wrong roads. I know Libby and I have been blessed with three wonderful children, and you know a lot about all of them, but we're so blessed. And there was a time when one of them drifted a little bit. It really wasn't terrible stuff that they did, but just kind of mischievous stuff, and some things that just came drifting from the Lord. I'm thankful to tell you, as far as we know, our children love the Lord and serve the Lord and are faithful to serve Him. And it was a great day. I remember one day when our son came home, he'd been gone for a long time. He experienced a lot of hurt and heartache and difficulty. And on his way home, I remember him saying to me on a phone call, "Daddy, it's okay if I come home. I needed to start over." And so I remember that day he pulled up at our driveway in Millington, and he got out of his car, and I embraced him and said, "Son, it's good to have you home." That's kind of the story that we find here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. What do you mean, Brother Jackie, he was insensitive to his father's passion? If we were to make a list of all the things that are important to God, I believe it would not be an exaggeration to say that nothing is more important to our Heavenly Father than us sharing those of us who have received the gospel, who received the good news, who trusted the Lord and been saved, to go out after and bring in the sheep. In fact, the parables Jesus told just before this one, the parables of the sheep, the one of 100, and the silver coins, the one of 10, that were lost, and the shepherd went out and searched for the sheep, and the lady searched her house for a coin. And now the prodigal son returns home. And so Jesus' parables often reflected the heartbeat of God, the passion of God. May I say, without equivocation, that nothing is more important to the heart of God than reaching people who are lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're here this morning, I want you to understand that nothing is more important to the Heavenly Father than a relationship with you. Created in God's image and called by God, designed by God for a specific purpose. And no matter what else can be said about your life, no one's life is complete until you make the relationship with the Lord and the peace of God and trust the Lord and are saved. And that's when you really find life's full meaning and full majesty and blessing. He's insensitive to his father's passion. He was angry and he would not go in to the party. He was a pouter. You ever seen a pouter? You ask them what's wrong, and they say nothing. You know, that's the place you be sure that's what's wrong. And the truth was, this older brother, the main problem was he was totally out of touch with the father's compassionate heart and the father's love for the younger brother. May I say the one thing that will always breathe life into a church, keep a church vibrant and alive and powerful for the Lord, is to stay focused on the right spiritual priorities. Love the Lord, walk with the Lord, serve the Lord, minister, but always know that there's somebody that's lost out there and needs Jesus. Nothing is more important than seeing people, men and women, boys and girls, saved. This morning, if you're here without the Lord, may I tell you, nothing is more important than the heartbeat of God, the heart of God, to see you come to a personal relationship with Jesus by grace, through faith. This parable magnifies that in every way. Not only was he insensitive to his father's passion, by the way, remember the passage in Matthew 9? When Jesus was on the hillside, he preached, and he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the whole Lord of the harvest, and bring forth laborers, for the harvest is plenteous, and the laborers are few." He was insensitive to his father's passion. The younger brother, secondly, was bitter or indifferent to his brother's pain. Now, I'm sure that the older brother was aware that something was wrong with the younger brother. And I'm sure he was aware he probably had spent all of his father's inheritance that he'd received, made some bad choices, made some bad decisions, and was bankrupt spiritually, bankrupt morally, bankrupt physically, every way you can be bankrupt. And his older brother was indifferent to his brother's pain. One of the things that is so needed in the life of the church today is, Lord, we all say, "Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me." This week, I suspect most of us will meet somebody along life's journey who's struggling, who's hurting, who's going through a difficult and dark time. And so this parable of the older brother reveals his one who's insensitive to his father's passion, and he was indifferent to his father's pain, his brother's pain, excuse me. In other words, he was bitter, he was jealous, and he was angry. He felt like he was mistreated. The most important adjustment the Lord needs to make in many of our lives is not only the blessing of walking with the Lord as Christians, but being an agent to touch lives out there who are lost and unsaved, whether they're in our family or our circle of friends. The brothers, God's going to lead you to somebody if your heart is open, who's struggling and needs a word from God, needs hope, and needs a new direction in life. He was insensitive to his father's passion. He was indifferent to his brother's pain. In fact, he was so insensitive to his brother's pain, the Bible says he would not go in the party. He stayed outside so everybody would know that he was unhappy with the events that were unfolding. Number three, this parable of the empty religion reveals he did not identify with his father's pleasure. Son, it's right that we should have this party because your brother is lost, now found. He was gone to a far country, is now home. Nothing is more important to the heartbeat of our father than the homecoming of those who strayed away. So the parable of Jesus just reveals the heart, the heartbeat, the heartache of God. I made myself a note. This younger brother was self-centered. Excuse me, the older brother was self-centered. And it was all about him. And Lord, deliver us from that kind of attitude. Lord, it's not just about us. It's about all of us together. And the truth is, God may be wanting to do a deep work in many of our hearts this morning who may not identify with the Father's pleasure. I can't think of anything that ignites the church more, blesses the church more, thrills the church more than seeing people saved. Mm-hmm. Boys and girls, men and women, young people, whoever they might be. See somebody walking down the aisle and giving their heart and life to Jesus is the most significant and majestic thing that takes place in the life of the church. But for some reason, this brother didn't identify with the Father's pleasure. It's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to have a heart for God, a passion for the things of God. Lord, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Speak to my soul to hear. Lord, teach me what I need to hear and reveal to me your wonderful will and treasure in my life. He was insensitive to his Father's passion. He was indifferent to his brother's pain. His older brother could not identify with his father's pleasure. Could not identify with his father's pleasure. He was so self-centered, he couldn't imagine the joy that his daddy was experiencing and the homegoing of his brother. Lord, set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Lord, give me a passion for souls. Make my heart, give me a broken heart for people who don't know the Lord Jesus. This parable of the older brother reveals he was insensitive to his father's passion. He was indifferent to his father, to his brother's pain, and he did not identify with his father's pleasure. He was far too self-centered. And number four, he was indispensable to his father's plan. In verse 31. Even to the brother who was upset and angry, he said, Son, verse 31, thou art ever with me, and all I have is thine. I want you to be blessed beyond measure. And receiving your brother home safe and sound and starting a new beginning doesn't diminish it at all how much I love you, how much you mean to this family, and what a blessing you are. He was indispensable to the Father's plan. You can almost feel the hurt and the heartache of the father in this parable story. Because one son was gone and now he's returned home. The other one returned home, refuses to come in the house because he's just so jealous and so self-centered. May we never lose sight of the spiritual priorities that have involved our Lord, but our God. He was insensitive to his father's passion. He was indifferent to his brother's pain. He did not identify with his father's pleasure. He was indispensable to his father's plan. I like this one, verse 28. He was angry, he would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him to come on and join the party. He is invited to join the party. The invitation of the Lord goes out to all of us, church. Join the celebration of the Father and the angels in heaven, the one who comes to give their heart and life to Jesus. Get a bird to lost sinners and get sing with that old song, Lord, lay some soul upon that heart, my heart, and love that soul through thee. Lord, give me a heart like the Father. Give me a burden and passion for those who have gone astray. Don't let me be self-centered. Don't let me be self-willed. Deliver me from being self-righteous. And in order to prepare, we're speaking to the majestic love of God for the Son that left the Father. We're all. They also never stop loving the Son and stay home. His point of the parable is not only the gratitude of the Son that came home, but there's rejoicing in the one. He wanted them to be rejoicing over the older brother. He didn't want to part of it to begin with. Lord, speak to my heart. Speak that souls may know and may hear. So what does the Lord say in our hearts this morning? I'm grateful for a church that loves souls, a church that loves people from the Lord. Church, it rejoices in people coming to know the Lord. I pray God will always have us tender in heart and sensitive in spirit. And always keep our any church that keeps its priorities reaching men, women, and boys and girls for Christ. And they were wonderfully blessed of the Lord in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. I made a note in the conclusion of the outline of the study guides you had before you. How did the older brother respond? Did you notice we're not told? I'd like to think that tears dwelled up in his eyes. I'd like to think he said, Father, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry for how I feel. I'm sorry for how I've acted. Lord, I want to come on in and join the party. We don't know that's what happened. We don't know exactly what did happen. The truth is, that's what the Lord was saying to any of us here this morning. Somehow you lost your passion for souls. If somehow you've lost your burden for those that are lost. You may want to say, Lord, speak to my heart. Sort of fire in my heart that will never go out. For those that are without the Lord, those that have traveled to a far country. That day that our son came home, his marriage had fallen apart. He'd gone through physical problems with cancer. He'd lost his job and had gone bankrupt. His world had fallen apart. But the Lord said, God, the Lord lived, come on home. And I remember that day when he came out, got out of his car, put their arms around each other, they loved him, they hugged him, back toward home. And today, you know the rest of the story. You know how God's work in his life. And I tell you, we all are a trophy of God's grace. Mm-hmm. And I thank the Lord for anybody who has gone to far. Maybe somebody here who's not gone to far country. He's not wasted the Father's resources on stuff. But maybe your heart's just grown cold. Maybe there's somebody here who's never had an opportunity to share the gospel or never taken the opportunity to share the gospel. And by giving a tract or by praying for somebody or telling your testimony. Maybe somebody here who is satisfied with coming to a good church and sitting in a beautiful place and worshiping with God's people. All that's good and all that's wonderful, but all to the end, you might go into all the world and share the gospel to everybody that's out there. Speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, what are you going to do tomorrow? Am I in the far country and need to come home? Or am I in the backyard and need to come home? Lord, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. Help me to respond in a way to bring honor and glory to your wonderful name. Bow with me for a moment, would you, please? This morning in my prayer time, I was giving